The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network,
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Worried, right? It's getting crowded in there, and all my recent data points to something big on the horizon.
What do you mean, the big?
Well, let's say this Twinkie represents the normal amount of psychokinetic energy in the New York area. According to this morning's sample, it would be a Twinkie 35 feet long, weighing approximately 600 pounds.
That's a big Twinkie.
We could be on the verge of a fourfold cross rip, a PKE surge of incredible, even dangerous proportions.
We just had a visit from the Environmental Protection Agency. How's the grid holding up?
It's not good.
Tell them about the Twinkie.
What about the Twinkie?
Wherever you go.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Hi there. It's Thursday, February 27th, 2014, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob. That guy right over there is Chez.
Yes.
We're brought to you by BubbleGenius.com. Best bath and body products ever. Go there, buy all of your soap. It's BubbleGenius.com. Bath and body products. They're the best. That's all you need to know. We're also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group and attorney Charles J. Bowen. He's easily the best attorney I've ever dealt with. He's fast, he's smart, he knows how to communicate with his clients. The Bowen Group covers commercial, banking, manufacturing, employment, personal injury, and medical malpractice law. Large firm experience, small firm attention, say it with me now, elite firm ability. It's thebowenlawgroup.com. Click the link on the podcast page. Also, click the BobSeska.com Amazon link if you're shopping at Amazon. It takes you right to the front page of Amazon. But the difference is that everything you buy, we get a small commission out of that, right? So you save money by shopping at Amazon. We get a little chunk to contribute to the blog. Thank you in advance. Also brought to you by Chez's memoir. It's called Dead Star Twilight. Get it at Amazon or at deusexmalcontent.com. Okay. I'm just going to say at the outset of all of the festivities, both for the free show today and the after party tomorrow...
Oh, holy crap.
What?
Nothing. Go. I'll tell you the story in a minute. It's good. Really good.
Okay. I just got to say, I mean, there's so much stuff in the bucket of show today. There's no way we're getting to all of it. So I apologize in advance if I preview something and say, well, yeah, we're going to talk about this today or tomorrow. Don't take me at my word. I'm a big, fat liar. No, I'm not a liar. We just only have a limited amount of time. So what's happening? What are you shouting about?
So there's an article in Salon right now.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Just making sure. There's an article in Salon called What It's Like to Watch Him Die. And it's basically a woman who, I guess, fell in love with a death row inmate in Texas. I guess she went to his execution. I'm just kind of skimming through it. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of it where she talks about how this guy was apparently friends with the person who was in the cell next to him was Michael Dwayne Johnson. And Michael Dwayne Johnson, basically, it describes him, this the guy who's on death row, talking about how his friend killed himself, slit his own throat basically on the morning of his execution. Mm-hmm. That's the story that I wrote about. That's the guy that I went to interview for CNN, and I wrote about it in the Daily Banter. I wrote about it actually at Deus Ex Malcontent a long time ago, and I republished it this past Monday at the Daily Banter. We went and interviewed him for a story that we were doing. We interviewed Michael Dwayne Johnson, and a month later was supposed to be the day of his execution, and I saw that come across the wire that he had slit his own throat, ran in and told Carol Costello about it. So I keep being sort of haunted by this guy. Kind of cool.
Wow. You know creepy. Whether the Salon article mm-hmm. came from your reporting or not?
Oh, no. It's an actual story from a woman who, like I said, she – the story was written by this woman who knows
I'm going to stop you there. You say yes.
Yes.
They stole your item.
Yes. They totally stole my idea.
those bastards.
Right.
I'm sorry. You can continue your story. I just wanted to interrupt.
No. But that's it. Yeah, I mean, that's just wild. I'm very surprised by that.
Geez. I'll have to check that out. You should put the article side by side, see if they did a Rand Paul with your piece.
No, they did not. I don't think they did.
All right, so the big story of the week was obviously this this bill that was introduced and passed through the state legislature in Arizona, SB 1062. And what it would do is it would, under the pretense of religious freedom, it would allow business owners to discriminate against LGBT people. And last night, we're recording the show on Thursday. Last night, Jan Brewer vetoed that bill. I mean, after numerous, almost the entire, I think Jeff Flake, I think John McCain, certainly Mitt Romney on Twitter urged Jan Brewer to veto this bill. But the thing about this bill is it didn't need to be introduced or passed or anything because it's already legal in Arizona to discriminate against gay people.
Right.
Because there's no law in Arizona preventing it. So, ergo, it's legal. So what Jan Brewer basically did is she just didn't make things worse by codifying the legality of this. What's insane about it, and I wrote about this almost all week for the Daily Banter, is that we're seeing a repackaged version of all of the arguments that were used in support of segregation, in support of anti-miscegenation laws, against, just all of the crap that we saw before the Civil Rights Act was passed. All of that stuff is being recycled again and used in support of this. Now, there's a sort of victory in Arizona, but there are 12 states right now that have introduced laws like this. Several of them have died. Several of the laws have died.
Right.
But in several states, they're actually going through with this. And it's becoming the excuse, this religious freedom, this, the First Amendment argument.
Yeah, their attitude is this is, to them, conscience. This is an act of conscience. Hmm. we're doing this because our religion, prohibits it.
Yes. Well,
which is just crap.
It really is. Because
I mean, you know how I feel about it anyway, which is that when religion, when your desire to appease your imaginary friend in the f-ing sky, when that comes into contact with real people's rights, reality, proven reality, mm-hmm. real, discrimination and real people being able to live the way they want to live and freedom and liberty and all that stuff, guess who gets to give way or guess who has to give way or should?
Like I said before, all of the same arguments that we heard. And most of those arguments in support of all of those bad racist things from before the Civil Rights Act and before the Voting Rights Act were all based on the Bible.
Of course
they
were.
It was, there were some economic arguments in terms of slavery and so forth. But, the fact of the matter is that the same book of the Bible that says homosexuality is an abomination also condones slavery. Leviticus says your male and female slaves are to come from the nations around you. From them you may buy slaves. I mean, it says right there in the Bible, you may buy slaves. Leviticus 25, I think it's 44 to 45. So if you're going to argue, and again, it seems so tired, this counter-argument, to go back to Leviticus and all the crap that it says, right alongside condemning homosexuality. But it's true. It's true. Here's some other stuff. Do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. And I'm looking up at this crackpot. By the way, this was a big, big week for anti-gay, bigoted derp from a wide variety of people. So like this guy who said that he's open to the death penalty for homosexuality.
Of course, because they're hurting our children.
Dr. Paul Cameron from the American Family Association, pictured here wearing several types of cloth. The same garment. I mean, there's 76 different things in Leviticus.
I thought that was actually a really good piece that you wrote. That kind of spells out all of the things that... Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to know the logical reason, well, one of the many logical reasons why I'm the way I feel the way I do about the Bible and about religion and so on. Yeah, it has to do with that. It has to do with, the lack of logic involved in adhering to it. You know, what part of you says, okay, I'm going to, I'm a fundamentalist and I believe, in every single thing the Bible says to you. So that means you think that homosexuality is wrong because you read about it in Leviticus. Right. Okay, well, what about all this other crap that you don't care about? And the reason you don't care about it is because you can't. Why? Because progress. That's mm-hmm. why.
Yeah.
Because you are – there. No religion is completely immune to the march of time and to new discovery and to progress.
Well, again, you're welcome to believe what you want to believe. But when you're in a public forum, when you own a business open to the public, you cannot discriminate against people. Sorry. That's what was going on prior to 1964. Business owners, forbidding black people from coming and sitting at their counters and just one thing after another. It was all, separate water fountains and everything. That's exactly what was happening then. And this would open the door to reverting right back to that. This law. Because you could, this book, you can justify anything with the Bible.
Yeah, oh, exactly. I mean, and some of those laws that are up there right now that, like you said, this is a sort of building, this is a movement that's building. Mm-hmm. The thing to keep in mind is like the thing that I wrote about in Banter yesterday. It's a movement that's building, but it's a movement that will ultimately go nowhere.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it will lose.
You're right.
It will lose. Mm-hmm. And eventually, we will look back on this time the same way that we look back on slavery, the same way we look back on on women not being able to vote, the same way we look back on putting Japanese people in internment camps. We're embarrassed and ashamed of that now, and we should be. And that's what it's going to be years from now. There's always going to be the asshole holdouts. There are. There's always going to be, the redneck, the tiny redneck contingent who are still bigots and there's nothing you can do about it. But overall, the overall mood of the nation, the attitude that we have toward it, that is going to change at some point. Mm-hmm. It really is. And all of these little things that they're doing to try to stop this, it may have a mild impact here and there. They may, to put it bluntly, they may buy themselves a little bit of time, but not much.
No.
And eventually, they're going to lose. It's already set in stone. It's set in stone because we've seen it happen before with different things. With segregation and with women voting and all this different stuff. This stuff that was once prohibited, and now it's like we look back on it and go, "What the hell was that? What were we thinking?"
You're a complete fascist.
That's what that idiot
Tucker Carlson
says. Why does anybody listen to anything Tucker Carlson has to have to say?
I don't know, but he still gets on TV somehow. Being wrong all the time, I guess, doesn't forbid you from being
on
television.
Like, yeah, he's like Bill Kristol.
Yeah,
Bill Kristol is wrong about everything. Mm-hmm. He's never right, and yet amazingly, he's still like a pundit.
Yeah. Well, here Tucker Carlson says that, debating my friend Alan Colmes, and said that, passing laws that ban discrimination is fascism.
Yep.
Carlson says, well, it's pretty simple. I mean, if you want to have a gay wedding, fine, go ahead. If I don't want to bake you a cake for your gay wedding, that's okay, too. Or should be. That's called tolerance.
Tolerance. Love the projection. You're not, I love the argument that you're not tolerant of my intolerance.
But when you try and force me to bake a cake for your gay wedding and threaten me with prison if I don't, that's called fascism. Well, guess what, you moron? No one's going to jail. And no one has gone to jail for refusing service.
Right.
It's absurd. And then he goes on to compare it to refusing service to naked people and people using profanity, which is exactly like, you know, being genetically predisposed to be gay. It's exactly the same. You're so right, Carlson, with your brilliant metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's completely wrong. You know, this is, we're talking about discrimination based on who you are as a person versus obnoxious behavior.
Yeah.
The idiocy around
right.
this.
And that's what it's all about. You can't discriminate against someone based on who they are.
Yeah. And then this other guy wants to...
Which again, by the way, loses sight of the thing that so many on the right do not get, which is that being gay is not a choice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They'll never understand that. I mean, you know, you can't expect them to understand that. This is a group of people who refuse to believe that there's global climate change. Yeah. This is a group of people who refuse to, you know, who believe that the world was created in 6 days, 6,000 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course they're not going to understand.
Oh, God. And Eric Erickson this week, too, where he said that a business that serves gay people is aiding and abetting the sin of homosexuality. You know, again, this is going all the way back to Leviticus again. It's the same with that other guy saying that homosexuality is a death penalty worthy sin.
Right. It all goes back to the Bible. Mm-hmm. It goes back to a 2,000 year old book.
Yes, loaded with myths.
Imagine that.
Yeah, loaded with metaphor and allegory and numerous translations that no one can quite agree upon.
Yes. Metaphor and allegory and translations and, quite frankly, crap that cannot happen.
Okay.
You know, there is a man in the Bible who lives to be, if I remember correctly, 969 years old.
Yeah.
Methuselah.
Methuselah, that's right.
I think it was 969.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, insane. You know, it sounds crazy. Like, I don't mean to get off on the rant about religion, but I always thought that this was a really interesting thing. And I saw somebody post a map lately that highlighted this. And I laughed because I waited for somebody to do it. It is a map of the, you know, with whatever you call it, the map where the entire world is laid out flat.
Yeah.
And they circled this tiny, tiny section in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's like it's a speck on this map, and oh, you know, they've got the sort of, you know, meme style writing, and it just says every single thing that happens in the Bible takes place in this area of the world. That's it. It never, you know, for all of this, God did this and created the world and did, you know, this it was the world was so much bigger than these people ever could have imagined.
Oh yeah.
At no point did they ever see. Inspired by God who created the world, did they ever see anything beyond this tiny area?
Well, hey, we got a break back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, I love this song.
You're on a famous kick.
Oh, yeah. Lindsey Buckingham from Vacation. Yeah. Directed by Harold Ramis. Chevy Chase said this week that we're going to talk about Harold Ramis on the after party. But I just want to throw this in that Chevy Chase said this week that he was, as Clark Griswold, he was basically doing Harold Ramis' performance of Clark Griswold.
Hmm.
He was basically just imitating how Harold Ramis would read the lines and perform that part, which I thought was interesting. Because you think of it so much as a Chevy Chase kind of part. But
only
I guess
Ramis was less of a jerk than Chevy Chase.
I'm sure, big time. All right. Well, yeah, like I said, we're going to talk about Harold Ramis and talk about his movies and his influence on the after party. Should be a big pick-me-up. This is becoming a regular thing, by the way. I don't know what's going on, but... I meant to say this on the after party, but it seems like we've reached that age, Chez, where a lot of our icons are dying.
Is that really where we are?
I guess.
See, it's sad because I look at it from the perspective of Harold Ramis was younger than my father. My father's birthday was yesterday.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have that moment where I'm like, all right, how much longer is my dad going to last? And I can't imagine what it's like for him.
Yeah.
What it's like to reach the age where you're like, your contemporaries are dying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that would suck.
Well, then I have some other observations about that, because that's become a running theme on the After Party. Bob and Chez get old. become a thing, which I'm borrowing from Kevin Smith, by the way. He does a podcast, Jay and Silent Bob Get Old.
Yes, yeah.
The podcast. But
well, that's why I'm trying to put off. I'm trying to put off death by or make it come early by doing CrossFit. So
yes, that's right. That's a huge scoop that Chez is doing CrossFit now. Wow,
dude CrossFit. Beats your ass.
Yeah, but it works, they say. It works really well.
It's hardcore, man. It is very, very hardcore. It's great. I mean, it is. It just, there's no such thing really as beginner's CrossFit. I mean, there is. You know, there are things that they'll let you get away with a little bit more, but no, it beats you to death.
Yeah, yeah.
It is really hardcore.
I have not
gone to one session yet. Where I walked out of there going, oh, that was an easy day.
Well, I've got some observations about that coming up on the After Party. Okay. Subscribe on the website. It's $6 a month. Do it. Okay? So there's this guy, this other guy. It's really hilarious. He's running for, is he running for governor?
Who?
Yeah. This guy, State Senator Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick from ESPN?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought initially. I was like, uh-oh, Dan Patrick stepped in it.
That's awesome.
Because he's kind of a right-winger, isn't he, Dan Patrick? But there is not related at all. Republican State Senator Dan Patrick from Texas, go figure, tweeted out yesterday, marriage equals one man and one man. Uh-oh.
Love that.
So good.
Yep.
He quickly corrected it. Deleted the tweet.
I meant two men and one man.
Typed marriage equals one man and one woman. Corrected himself. And then tweeted again, just to be sure no one was confused. Marriage is between one man and one woman, period.
Oh, okay.
I'm so sad that he deleted it, though, because I would have loved to have read all of the responses, like the bewildered responses from his followers.
What are you saying?
What are you talking about? Are you becoming a homosexual?
You one of them
Oh, God. All right. So that's just a lot of people stepping in big piles of shit this week.
You know,
trying
one
to
of
talk
them queers. Because it's always really, while they always love to use the F word, it's always so much more fun when they say queer. Or you one of them queers?
Yeah.
They kind of drag it out.
Queer, that is a good word to accompany this music. Are you one of them queers? All right. So this other guy, Judson Phillips. This would be the last big example of derp this week surrounding this law in Arizona. Judson Phillips, who is the head of Tea Party Nation, writes that tyranny is on the march. He declared in a piece on the TPN website, Tea Party Nation website, that he also emailed to members of the group, adding that business owners who are not allowed to discriminate against gays and lesbians are, quote, slaves.
Yes, they are.
To the great liberal state. Aided by French Republicans like Brewer, throwing Brewer under the bus with the French bomb. Phillips then wonders if business owners will be forced to, quote, create a cake for a homosexual wedding that has a giant phallic symbol on it. Create pastries for a homosexual wedding in the shape of genitalia. Or photograph a homosexual wedding where the participants decide they want to be nude or engage in sexual behavior.
That attitude,
yeah.
that's what gay people are like. I mean, look, you know what? There is no denying that, and I'm absolutely not blaming gay people for this, but, you know, there's no denying that you know, a lot of times when you would see the, God knows I covered the West Hollywood parade enough, mm-hmm. to see that. Yeah, you know, when they have one of the parades or something like that, it can get, you know, it gets a little crazy. There's a lot of leather. There's a lot of, you know, there's some nudity, that kind of thing. But man, more than ever, especially now, one of my favorite things about sort of gayness in pop culture is that gays now more than ever are just portrayed the way they should be, which is they're just freaking people.
Yeah, exactly.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. They have the same damn problems everybody else does. I mean, it's insane that there are idiot straight bigots who have this terror that they're going to be asked. It's the same type of thought when they say, well, they're going to touch little boys. No. Well, you know, you're basically operating off an insane caricature.
Yeah. That's just it. It also comes from this fear, this lack of confidence in their own masculinity. It's a right. fear that they're going to turn gay. If they see it, then they're going to go, well, that looks pretty good. Why don't I try that? Oh, no, I can't. Because the Bible says that I could be stoned to death.
What a bunch of crap.
It's absurd. By the way, cheating on your wife, also a stoning-worthy trespass, according to Leviticus. Just wanted to throw that in there for all of you self-righteous Republicans who've cheated before. Adultery is punishable by death, according to the Bible. We're going to start legislating that now. And also, by the way, try to prove it. All right, we've got some other derp to talk about. We're going to have to take a break, though, before we do. But I want to talk about more Republicans just completely incapable of talking about abortion, pregnancy, women's reproductive issues. They just cannot do it. They need to stop doing it because they're idiots. They cannot do it with sounding like remarkable fools. Right. There's a guy in Maine. There's another guy in Virginia. It just keeps happening and happening and happening. We got to take another break back after this.
Hey, TV lovers, I'm Buzz Burbank, ready to bring you the best and most comprehensive TV preview ever. I'm telling you, this one sets the standard for all my future previews, and there are great shows on the horizon. New shows have been trickling in since the first of the year, and now that the Olympics are over, prepare for a flood of some pretty great-looking stuff. I'll talk about my own favorites and most of the ones I know you love. I'll review those shows so you know what to expect. I also know when Mad Men is coming back, and I've got dates for all your other returning favorites. Be ready to take notes and to use that jump back button. There are shows coming you don't want to miss, so don't. Start by not missing my 2014 second season TV special. Available now at buzzburbank.com.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And if you want 50, if I almost said 50, it's not 50% off, I assure you. It's 15% off your entire order at BubbleGenius.com. All you got to do is at checkout, type in Bob and Chez, BobAndChez. If you're a new listener to the show, you've joined the club. You've joined the club, therefore you get benefits for being in the club. And one of those benefits is 15% off everything you buy at BubbleGenius.com. All right, so this guy, his name is Lawrence Lachman. He's a Republican state lawmaker from Maine. And he wrote, and I quote, "If a woman has the right to an abortion, why shouldn't a man be free to use his superior strength to force himself on a woman? At least the rapist's pursuit of sexual freedom doesn't, in most cases, result in anyone's death. Okay, this gets one of
these. They need to never, ever, under any circumstances, reference rape.
That's right.
Because somewhere in that pea brain, in the middle of their skull, in their middle of their big, stupid skull covered by their doughy, fat faces, somewhere in there, you could just see the wheels turning and you can hear, wait, I think I got a good point here. I know what people will understand me. It's a good point.
I figured out this great metaphor. All right?
I got
a great metaphor for how we talk about rape and abortion. Why don't we just make them the same thing? Or what? Rape's way better because no one dies. You see? You get it? I mean, come on. Do we even need to dissect why this is so wrong? Now, I'll give the guy the benefit of the doubt. This was a quote of something he wrote in 1990, looks like 1995. And it was just uncovered just, yesterday.
Yeah.
And he claims to regret what he said. But still doesn't matter. At some point in this guy's career, he felt as though it was okay to go around saying that rape is better than abortion, or at least similar to it. At least no one dies when there's a rape. Yeah, no one's ever raped and murdered. What a phenomenal idiot. Okay, and then there's this other story that I covered a little bit in banter this week. This guy, Virginia State Senator Steve Martin, who along with Dan Patrick shares names with famous people. He's an anti-choice Republican. He received a pro-choice Valentine's Day card from an activist group and decided to go off about it on Facebook. Here's the choicest paragraph. Quote, "You can count on me to never get in the way of you preventing an unintentional pregnancy. I'm not actually sure what that means, because if it's unintentional, you must have been trying to prevent it. And I don't expect to be in the room, or will I do anything to prevent you from obtaining a contraceptive. However, once a child does exist in your womb, I'm not going to assume a right to kill it just because the bearer of the child, some refer to them as mothers, doesn't want it to remain alive." So pregnant women are just hosts for their children. That's what this guy is basically saying, which then makes the baby a parasite, doesn't it?
Sure.
Once again, please, folks.
Yeah. No, just keep going. I love it every time they talk like this.
That's true. It's right along that line, between wanting to say, okay, you know what, you might want to shut up about that, and also saying, please, come on, keep going, because you're only screwing yourself. Oh, these people are morons. What can you do? Coming up in the next segment, I want to talk about a little bit about Obamacare, because yet once again, the Republicans have stepped in it. Nothing the Republicans have said, and I've got proof, nothing the Republicans have said has been correct about the health care law, about Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Not a damn thing. I've got a comprehensive list of everything wrong that they've said, including their interpretation of yet another CBO report. Remember the CBO report that said that 2.5 million people were going to be fired because of Obamacare? Well, it didn't really say that.
Right.
But the Republicans said that it actually said that. So we're going to talk about this coming up. Plus, there's a new Guardian Snowden revelation.
Oh, thank God.
And my view on this might surprise you. Might surprise you. Got to take.
In other words, you think it's a big deal?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
I see you're teasing.
I'm teasing. Got to take one last break back after this.
Hey,
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
All right, from Ghostbusters. This song doesn't get enough respect. It's one, it's, to me, one of the better songs on the soundtrack.
There's not much else on the soundtrack that's any good.
No. You're not a fan of the Bus Boys?
Clean It Up? No, the Bus Boys song I like.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. No, Bus Boys are awesome. Because the Bus Boys also did Boys Are Back in Town from 48 Hours.
Oh, that's right.
Great song. Great song. And they do it, they perform it live. I mean, you know. Recorded live, but they perform it live on the movie.
Here's a little
Ed, Ed Romans. You wouldn't like it. The brothers hang out there. I love that line.
Here's a little known fact about my life. When I was a kid, it was about 1984, 1985, I used to sit in my bedroom and record.
Uh-oh, stop now.
Record fake radio shows. I used to have my own, like, I had my own fake radio station, and then I'd have a whole, like, console set up with, like, a couple of record players and a little tape recorder, and I bought a microphone from Radio Shack, and I used to record myself talking on the radio, like, doing, you know, it wasn't broadcasting to anyone, I would just make these tapes.
And so basically, it's the exact same thing you're doing right now.
Exactly. Only people are listening now. But one of the things that I used to do as a bit, and I don't know why I found this so hysterical, is I would put on the Ghostbusters soundtrack. I would put on that Bus Boys song, Cleaning Up the Town. And I would play it at 45 RPMs instead of 33. And I would play it in fast motion. And I used to think that was hilarious. that was the funniest damn thing in the world. their voices are so high and it's so fast. Fortunately, I think my taste in comedy has improved over the years. Maybe not by much, but a little bit.
You were basically, what is it, Lieutenant Steve?
Yes, I was Lieutenant Steve Hawk from Good Morning Vietnam.
Frenchie?
Frenchie.
did you have Frenchie?
I was doing those bits. I would put on chapstick right before I was going on the air. but yeah, so that's one
Lieutenant
of the things
Steve.
I would do.
Lieutenant Steve.
I guess that would make you an Edie Gourmet, honk honk.
Dear God, that's awful.
That's so uncomfortable to watch.
Exactly. That's the best. It's cringeworthy, which is just great. Douche chills.
Yeah.
Is my favorite term. Douche. It's total douche chills.
God. I mean, I so desperately from a very early age wanted to be on the radio.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I didn't do that, but I think my friends and I all had sort of an obsession with the possibility of being on radio. And I was for a while, you know, and it was fun. It was a good gig. I enjoyed it.
The other thing I would do was prank calls. I had this whole setup to do prank calls. So the show was basically like...
So you prank called nobody. You did pretend prank calls.
No, I did real prank calls.
Oh.
I bought a phone splitter, like a phone jack splitter, and I had one phone set up to record the call, and then the other phone is the one I would talk into.
Exciting.
It was a very, very intricate system in my bedroom.
Yeah, very elaborate. All the using only the most impressive space age technology.
In 1984, I'm recording radio shows, making prank calls, and playing the Bus Boys at 45 RPM. By the way, those of you millennials listening to the show, that's the different speeds that records would be played back at. See, there was 33 RPM, and that was usually reserved for 12-inch albums. And
we're there now, aren't we?
There was 40.
We really are. We're at a point now where, like, you know, have we talked about this ever? I was thinking, you know, whenever you still see them, like you see a commercial where they where they're doing one thing and then they oh my God, go to something else, and they do the record scratch.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess that records, you know, you still have records because DJs use them.
Yeah.
But overall, it's like, does anybody really know what the hell a record scratch sounds like anymore?
No. I mean, there's got to be...
Seriously, besides hipsters, who the hell has records?
Right. Yeah, I was going to say that. Hipsters, too. I mean...
because they have them, ironically.
Excuse me, I'm choking here. But, I mean, I don't think a lot of people know anymore. I mean, I remember, for example, I didn't get to buy a lot of record albums when I was a kid. Because my parents knew that there were radio shows. There were radio stations that played all of the songs that I liked... And that I could just record them off of the radio. And I think one of the reasons why I got into radio is because I would always hear the DJ talking up the song. And I would always, I would have that on a tape that I would play over and over and over and over again. So I kind of got it in my head that this is what you do when you're on the radio. You talk up a song right up to the words. And so that's what I used to do that. I used to tape everything on cassettes. And that's likewise, do anyone, I think that more people know records and record players than cassette tapes. Because yeah, I don't think anyone's cassette using cassette tapes.
Cassette tapes were definitely sort of, I mean, they don't even really have the kind of nostalgia quality that records do. Yeah. I mean, cassette tapes, aside from being able to be taken places, you know, being portable, cassettes sucked.
They did.
They never sounded very good. And they would magnetize after a while, and then you'd be screwed, and you'd get that screeching sound throughout.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a mechanism. And that's why it would really screw up all the time. Like, I can't remember, tell you how many times the tape either broke or it would get tangled inside the tape deck.
Bro, yeah, I had that happen all the time.
It's just really annoying. And the sound quality is inferior. I mean, the sound quality on an LP, that'd be a long play record. For those of
such
you,
an ass.
For those of you youngsters, is much better than a cassette tape.
I do still have an appreciation for, you know, for the notion that there is a warmer, thicker sound on a record. That is absolutely true. Yeah. But I'm also the first one to say that, like, look, I'm not a Luddite. And as soon as I got an iPod, and I'm like, you mean to tell me I can carry around, you know, 2,000 songs in my pocket?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my God. And, you know, that's the greatest invention I had ever seen. It was.
Yeah.
You know, I was the person who, when I lived in New York, spent time, you know, I carried my little CD Walkman with me everywhere. Mm-hmm. Even if I went out to, like, dinner or something, my attitude was like, if I have to move through this damn city, there's a soundtrack to it. That's the beauty of New York City. That's half the fun.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you create, New York, you create your own moments by putting them to music. And I did it all the time. So no matter where I was, I'd have, you know, I'd have a backpack with me or whatever, and I'd have a freaking, you know, have a my CD Walkman in it. But yeah, once I realized, oh, wait a minute, you mean there's something that literally can fit in, like, the change pocket of my jeans, yeah, and that thing's got every song in the world on it? Oh, dear God, yes.
Yeah, when I discovered I could put everything on an iPod, I couldn't wait until I digitized every single one of my CDs and put it into iTunes. Because now I have my entire record collection on my iPod. I'm going to take a look here. I've got 71 gigs of music, 1,013 albums that, if you were to play back to back, would take 33.5 days to play.
Right. And to their credit, I mean, one of the ways that that Beats by Dre has become so successful, in addition to, of course, slapping Dre's name on it and making really, you know, pulling the Apple thing, which is making it really gorgeous to look at. You know, they had a specific design they set up, and people fall for that crap like it's, you know, they love it. But they, you know, they did figure out, like, I heard an interview with, actually a live interview, because I was at his birthday party, oddly enough, Jimmy Iovine.
Wow.
You know, legendary producer. And he was talking about, you know, he's trying to sort of do the pitch about why he got involved with Beats by Dre. And he, you know, said, he's like, look, you know what, we worked really hard, and we took, you know, we know the limitations of MP3 music. Mm-hmm. And what we did is we tried to create a sound system, a speaker system, a headphone system that would work and make that sound bigger and thicker and better. Wow. And it does. Honestly, the headphones are awesome.
By the way, contrast between you and me, we both dropped names during the show today. Your name was Jimmy Iovine. My name was Alan Colmes. that says everything, I think. That defines everything about this show.
Yeah, I went to Iovine's birthday party that they had like 2 years ago for the Grammys. It was at the Village Studios here in L.A. It's a lot of fun. Great story, honestly. So standing at the bar, talking to, like, you know, there's this standing at the bar getting a drink. There's this really, really gorgeous woman, hair slicked back. She's not dressed scantily at all. She's wearing like almost it looks very German. It's like a very, you know, like a gray suit with like a pencil skirt, and it's buttoned all the way to the top. And I mean, she's gorgeous though. And yeah, we just started talking, like, no freaking big deal. You know, I thought she was really cool. We talked to each other at the bar for a little while, eventually, you know, split off. And like 20 minutes later, she gets up on stage and starts playing, and it's Skylar Grey. who, I don't know if you know who Skylar Grey is, but she's like, she's done a bunch of crap with Eminem. She's, you know, she's one of the big sort of new singers. And I'm like, all right, I was just standing in a bar for like 10 minutes talking to Skylar Grey. Just put a bullet in my head right now.
All right, well, let's get back to politics, because this is, I mean, we sort of lapsed into after-party territory.
I like that, though.
Yeah, that's fine. No problem.
We should once in a blue moon.
No regrets. Okay, so I'm going to talk about this Obamacare CBO report that is delicious to talk about, quite frankly. This guy is Congressman Todd Young from Indiana, introduced a bill last year. It's called the Save American Workers Act of 2013. Remember that title. The Save American Workers Act of 2013. 208 Republicans. Actually, it's not 208. It's 199 Republicans. Seven Democrats signed on to co-sponsor this damn thing. The intention of the bill is to somehow save American workers by increasing the threshold for full-time employment from 30 hours per week to 40 hours per week. Thanks, Todd. This would allow more businesses to circumvent the employer mandate in the Affordable Care Act. The bill would also reduce the penalty for failing to comply with the law. When Young introduced it last year, he said, repealing this redefinition and restoring it to the historical norm ensures this bill not only protects working poor and middle-class employees, it also ensures that laws governing employment are consistent. Along comes Doug Elmendorf from the CBO. Right? No, no, no. That's not what it does. Turns out that a million workers would lose their employer-based health insurance policies if this law is passed. Half of those workers would be forced into Obamacare or Medicaid or SCHIP. The other half wouldn't get any health insurance at all. Good job. I queued this up for the... Yeah.
Yes, that was very nice.
$74 billion. What does that number mean? That's the amount it would add to the deficit. Really good job. So, I mean, this raises the question. Has anything the Republicans have said about Obamacare been accurate or true?
No.
I don't think any of it has. Let's do the list. There are no death panels. I wrote about this on the Daily Banter. If you want a crib sheet of it, just go to the Daily Banter. There are no death panels. The law doesn't cut Medicare benefits. It doesn't add to the deficit. In fact, it reduces the deficit by $109 billion over 10 years. It's not a government takeover. It does not cover abortions or emergency contraceptives that prevent implantation. You hear that last part? Because even some liberals get that part wrong. The contraceptives covered in Obamacare are only contraceptives that prevent ovulation, not implantation. There's a huge difference between the two, because the ones that prevent implantation can, if you really stretch the definition, be defined as abortion, but it's not. It just prevents implantation. Right. The law is not unconstitutional. Ask the Supreme Court. There won't be any IRS goon squads breaking down your door. Medical care will not be rationed. Most of the provisions in the law are extremely popular, even among Republican voters. Right? We've covered that ad nauseum, about all the polling that shows that Republicans, especially Republicans, like the individual provisions of the law. But when you define all those provisions collectively as Obamacare, socialism, 80% of Republicans like the idea of health insurance marketplaces, also known as exchanges. 57% of Republicans like the idea of government helping to pay the cost of premiums via insurance subsidies. 54% of Republicans like the employer mandate. Well, they should. It was Republicans who invented that. On and on and on. What else do we got here? So not only is it extremely popular, it's not socialized medicine, and most of it, including the mandate, as I said, was invented by Republicans in the first place. Congress is not exempt from Obamacare.
That's right. We discussed that.
Oh, yeah. One of the biggest lies about the law. The law will create jobs, not kill 2.5 million of them. That's the previous CBO report that they got totally wrong. And yeah, the ridiculous GOP House bill intended to save workers will actually add to the deficit and strip a million workers of their health insurance. Sorry, guys. Yeah. They keep doing it. They keep getting it wrong. And at some point, you know, you think someone's going to stand up and say, you know what, I probably shouldn't listen to those guys anymore. They just don't know what the hell they're talking about. So this Snowden revelation, we've got a few minutes left in the show. The Guardian posted another Snowden document today. The headline is, Yahoo webcam images from millions of users intercepted by GCHQ, by Spencer Ackerman and James Ball. GCHQ, by the way, is the British counterpart of the NSA. This is creepy. I might surprise you when I say this. It doesn't appear to be illegal under British law, but it's really creepy. I mean, what they did was from 2008 to 2012, when, this part isn't in the article, when chats, video chats, webcam chats on Yahoo weren't encrypted, and there were also public chats that anyone could look at. The GCHQ was gathering from 1.8 million Yahoo user accounts screen captures of the people in those chats. And 11% of those chats had sexual content in there. So it was like people, you know, people doing what they do on webcams with each other.
Right.
In a six-month period in 2008 alone, the agency collected webcam imagery, including substantial quantities of sexually explicit communications from more than... Oh, this is just 6 months in 2008. 1.8 million Yahoo user accounts globally, including ostensibly American user accounts, British user accounts. And there's no law saying that GCHQ, unlike the NSA, has to minimize the data it collects, meaning... Like the NSA, when the NSA collects data, they have to minimize it. They have to eliminate all of the American data that was unintentionally collected and so forth. Anonymize it, destroy it. You don't have to do that in England. But then again, it says they're only they don't have to do it. But in the article, it doesn't say whether they did or not. So we don't know. Which is, again, you know, as much as I think this is creepy, the reporting is just atrocious.
Right.
It's just atrocious. I have a few more observations about this. I don't know whether we'll talk about, pick up on it on the after party or not. But again, it's what it's doing is, not only is it collecting this imagery, but it's using this imagery, scanning this imagery, using facial recognition software to kind of match it closely to known terrorist targets.
Right.
Again, it's unsavory. I think it's a little bit over the line. Now, I say all of this knowing the 24-hour rule. We don't know the whole story yet.
Right. Yeah. 24 hours from now, you'll learn that you know, they got a Yahoo they got their own Yahoo password.
Why sent Spencer Ackerman a note on Twitter asking him if the documents say whether the videos captured, or the still images from the videos captured, were from the public chat rooms or the unencrypted private chat rooms? Because it was from the public chat rooms, that ain't spying. These are people talking on video chats in public. That's no different than having surveillance cameras in a mall or whatever.
Right.
So we'll see what he has to say. My hunch is it's probably both. But I'd like to see the differential between, you know, the amount of public chats that were captured and the number of private chats. And like I said, it's unencrypted. And nothing about Yahoo's issues with encryption was included in the article. And the program ended in 2012, right around the same time that Yahoo began to encrypt their private tech or their private chats.
Hmm.
So there is that. There is a little bit of mitigating evidence here that makes it not as bad. But like I said, it's still creepy. Still creepy. Big after party coming up tomorrow, noon Eastern. Friday. It's Friday, noon Eastern. $6 a month. Cancel at any time. Subscribe at BobSeska.com. Going to talk about Harold Ramis, the new Godzilla trailer, some casting,
awesome
casting news for Star Wars, and this is the worth the price of the admission. Going to talk about Paula Dean.
Oh yes,
Paula Dean steps in it again.
Do you have the music queued up?
Oh, I
ready
do.
To go?
I always have that music queued up. That's Friday on the after party. See you then. If not, see you next week. Bye bye.